Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Games cast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the best hair in the business, Fran Mirabella III.
Taking over for Greg Miller today.
I love it.
I guess I get to sit in the seat.
Mr. FM3 himself, yeah. How's the Twitch going?
It's good. We played some Division last night because the Warlords expansion is out. Oh. And that was awesome. A bunch of people came by. Thank you. And I know some friends out there picked up the Epic Game Store creator code, Fran Mirabella copy as well. Shameless plugs, my friends.
You need to do it.
That's how we do it.
We'll love to see it. The former informer Imran Khan.
I really miss Fran's hair.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You guys haven't been together for
it's been a while.
It's been some time.
Like a month and a half.
It's been a fun, and of course, we have the new face of video games.
Hello, it's Blessing, me.
You're old news now, man.
But I love this, though. We've never had the four of us on a show.
Have we not?
No.
I don't think so.
We've never had this dynamic.
Because normally we have Greg, or like we.
Oh, yeah, Greg's always here messing things up.
Yeah, exactly. It's been an interesting year, though, because we're doing the topics, so we try to get like the right people for each show and stuff, and it's been fun. I like changing it up. Never knowing what I'm going to get.
Spice of life.
It's going to be fun. Shout out to all of our Patreon producers for helping make this show happen. Mohammed, James Hastings, Evan Ballard, Steven Insler, Sancho West Gaming, Duval King, Jabub. Agent Cody Banks himself, Trent Berry, Max Blair, Julian, the gluten-free gamer, Tom Bach. I love that he's like, made his own free, like, branding, little nicknames man. There. Tom Bach, Nano Support, Michael Bradley, and Joseph O. Yusuf, but this is the Kinda Funny Games cast each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. We get together, talk about video games, all the things that we love about them. You can watch it on YouTube, you can watch it on roosterteeth.com, or you can listen to it by searching for Kinda Funny Games cast on your favorite podcast service. And fun new announcement. After a couple weeks of doing all the first impressions and stuff on the Gamescast feed, we realized that there is actually a much bigger demand for that than I expected. So we made a new podcast feed for it. Search for Kinda Funny First Impressions on your favorite podcast service to get that as a separate feed, so that now, you know, everybody just knows what they're getting there. Fun stuff. But go, please give us nice reviews. Please give us a thumbs up. 5 stars or I don't want it. Okay? None of that bullshit.
Fair enough.
What else do we got to do? You get the show ad-free, and you can get the exclusive post-show by going to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, Manscaped, and Omax Health. But we'll talk about that later. Let's get into the big topic of the day, gentlemen. What gaming franchises need to come back from the dead? One of the most requested topics.
Really?
Just period. Ever. Anytime we're like, hey, what should we talk about on Gamescast? I think that this is like the number one question.
People
asked.
Like to reminisce.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing I've learned about people. People love to look back. People love nostalgia.
Hell of a drug.
Nick at Night.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
The first thing I'm looking for on the show is the person, because we are exactly this way, to your point. You're going to pick a game that probably makes no sense to play in a modern day with all the advancements, but you want it so bad. And who's going to be the first to ask for that?
Yeah.
If at all on the show, I feel like somebody will do it.
Well, there are a couple
is
of
that,
ones.
Wait, there's a specific game you're thinking of?
No, but just meaning like somebody will be like, bring back this game that totally is not that relevant, but I loved it. And they don't even know like how it would play in today's like modern realm.
Well, yeah, there are definitely a few games on here that are like dream games that I would love to bring back due to nostalgia. Dreams.
Or like whatever.
Or dreams.
This probably isn't on anyone's list, but like Beetle Adventure Racing. It was fun and all. I looked at that and I was like, I don't think that.
But do you
let's start with that.
What would you do for Beetle Adventure Racing?
Because I cursed myself.
It could just come back and just be like an HD remaster or something.
Burnout Paradise, but Beetles.
I mean, Beetle Adventure Racing was just a fun action arcade racer, and it was just like,
what was it? Because I've never heard of it.
It's an Volkswagen
N64
Beetle
game that just had no right being as good as it
who
was.
Who made that? I want to say it was someone like relevant that
I might. They were pretty good.
Know this game.
It was just a good racer, and you just race through tracks in, as I recall, very much like open adventure-esque environment.
Huge
and
maps. Yeah. Like that's what made it special is the laps lasted forever.
Yeah.
But like that, it was, you know, at the end of an era of the N64 that had, you know, the Cruisin' series, Cruisin' USA and Cruisin' World, Cruisin' Exotica, all that stuff. But then there was also the San Francisco Rush series.
Yeah, I almost put that on my list.
All those happened, but then Beetle Adventure Racing kind of came out and like topped them all.
Now that I see like the images for it and like the...
You kind of remember
seeing
it.
I remember it. When you were saying Beetle Adventure Racing, I was thinking actual Beetles, like the bugs racing.
You'll love to see it.
And so I was like, oh, shoot, this game sounds awesome. And I looked at it, I was like, oh, okay.
It was John Lennon, Paul McCartney.
The Beatles racing.
That was the thing, man. Like, it was good because it was like decent tracks. The racing mechanics were fun, and in a 3D environment back then, all those were achievements, which today, you need to be a lot more clever than just nailing those basic aspects.
I'm going to throw this out there. N64 had a lot of really good arcade racers.
Yeah.
That, San Francisco Rush,
maybe... Can we count Wave Race 64?
No, you don't. You don't.
Can we count... Oh, I didn't even put that on my list. I just
Wave Race?
Wave Race 64.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, that's number one on my list.
Number one on your list.
Yes.
Wave Race.
Blue Storm was amazing, and Wave... Okay. Okay.
Do you think Wave...
Okay.
Do you, think...
you guys remember that?
Oh, yes.
When you hit the checkpoints. Oh,
I was so bad at Wave Racer as a kid anyway. Because I didn't understand it. I was like, why do I have to stay on the on a certain side of the Bowie or whatever it's called?
Blue Storm was legit an amazing like physics-based water racer.
What the fuck was it about the GameCube that the water was so impressive?
Dude, like, the N64 water was...
Mario Sunshine.
Tim,
I was actually
Project Dolphin.
You're right.
That had actually the graphics chip, I believe, is called the Flipper chip, code name.
Flipper, the Dolphin.
Yeah. So, like, do you think there's a way for Wave Race to come back and make waves?
Make some, I thought you were going to say make a splash.
Or make a splash.
I'm loving the
energy.
Dude,
actually, like, no joke, I didn't even, like, I don't know why, escape me on the list. And as we were talking about N64 racers, and I thought about it, I totally think it would be an awesome game. I think the problem is, like, do you want a Ski-Doo branded, like, how would you do it in a way that... it could sell, but I do think the game legit would be awesome. Like, Blue Storm was dope because you would get into, like, you'd have, like, chop and the physics. This was back in, like, 2002 or whatever. It was 2002 or 3.
2001.
And then you'd get into these huge waves, and that's what made Blue Storm different, is you'd just be, like crashing. It would be so hard to make it through certain areas. Sometimes it'd be a city track, and there'd be, like, a huge Titanic-sized ship. And it just, the wave physics were brilliant. They really made you time your jumps. It was kind of like Excitebike, right, where you'd have the little chop, and you'd have to nail it, and then you'd have big chop. I think you could totally pull it off, and it'd be tons of fun.
Was it Blue Storm that had the code that made the announcer mean to you?
I didn't know.
Either Blue Storm or Wave Race 64 that, like, you put in a code and the announcer would just, like, demean you for doing badly.
Was it the same announcer as N64?
So I have a pitch here. Because I'm talking about bringing back old franchises. Like, how would we modernize it? Wave Race seems a little too simple for Nintendo to actually put the time into making that a $60 title. It's not above that because it's
simple?
Nintendo. So hear me out. Okay. Hear me out. I just feel like it's a great game, but I just don't know if for modern audiences that makes sense as a full-fledged title. But,
well, I mean, Mario Kart 8 is one of their best-selling games.
Yeah, but that's
different. Like a neat, like a premium Nintendo game.
I'm looking for Tim is why you don't think it makes sense for modern audiences. Because it's the Wave Race?
Just the type of game it is, where it's
the
just
vehicle?
It's
or that it's a racing game, period.
A racing game, period.
That's what I'm getting at. You think it's
but
just
I think
like
Mario
an
Kart's
racer.
Different because there's a lot more elements to it.
Mario Kart, you can change up every track regardless of how, like, you... Mushroom Kingdom is very varied.
Yes.
Yeah.
With Wave Race, it's like, well, this is
water. And how much content are you going to be able to jam in?
Check this
in
out.
There?
So N64 had a ton of these amazing games, right? Then the GameCube kind of had the refined versions.
Yeah.
Then once we got to the Wii, everything went out the window, and it's like, cool, we have like Wii Sports, and it's just like a bunch of different games together, right? Mm-hmm. Or we play all the different Wii collections. What if we got back to that, but instead of making it the like super anyone can do it, go a little bit on the more hardcore side, and what if we got a Nintendo kind of sports package game that includes Wave Race and includes 1080 snowboarding and includes an Excitebike type thing where it's like
don't
treat them like mini games, but treat it more just kind of like
Nintendo Land.
Like yes, but full featured.
More
but just
features,
like,
well, you're thinking of like the Mario Sports pack. I forget what it was called. There was one that came out on Wii.
Mario Sports
but,
Mix.
But good, yeah.
But good.
Well, it's a little like the idea behind the Olympics, but like...
I was going to say Orange Box, basically.
Or, well, that was actually three complete games.
It
but
was.
That's what I was going to get at, Tim, is...
That's the idea.
As long as you promise me... that they don't become half-assed or quarter-assed.
I don't want half-ass.
That each one is the physics are all as incredible as they were with all the score systems and everything.
Like a
and then I get all three in one. Holy crap.
Yeah, I think the idea is, hey, we're going to make three polished experiences that aren't necessarily like filled to the brim with content. But
no,
you're gonna love what you're playing.
Here's a shit we can't sell for $60 on its own.
Exactly,
it's in one box.
But like, but good enough. Yeah. Not just good enough.
Ah.
Amazing. Yeah, but like,
it's gotta be great.
Maybe if it's just because I feel like there are similar elements between Wave Race and 1080.
Totally. Even Excitebike.
It was the same developers.
Yeah. You did say Excitebike too, right?
Yeah.
All one. Yeah.
But it's like, imagine if they kind of found a gameplay system that actually works for all three, and then you have one cast of characters that. You can choose that go through each of the different types of races, like 2 Extreme and 3 Extreme on the PlayStation, but good because it's Nintendo.
Yeah.
Oh,
Extreme
Sports
games weren't great at all.
What was the wannabe competitor on PlayStation?
Jet Moto.
Yeah. I know some people probably like Jet Moto, but
Jet Moto is one of those things where it has a very fond place in my heart.
Of course.
But God, those games aren't good. And they
nothing
have aged
like
worse.
Blue Storm was pinnacle work. That was from the DigiPen.
NST.
NST. Yeah. That came out of DigiPen. And man, they're still doing stuff, I think, in the background over there. But anyway, I just got so excited.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Call it Nintendo X. The X is for Extreme.
Nintendox.
As long as you get full
Nintendox.
Fledged.
Oh, well,
I wanted full fledged. But you see what I'm saying? I just feel
that'd be a huge, massive game, in my opinion. I think it's impossible. Meaning, I think in your mind.
Then fine. Just two. It's just 1080 and Wave Race.
Yeah, okay. Winter, summer, something.
That would actually, I think.
You know,
but
awesome.
Tons of huge mountains, and then also like all these locales. That
saying
you go
this,
to.
Like what comes to mind for me is like, what if you just had steep with like water races as well?
Yeah,
yeah, like
but,
that,
like, but with Nintendo charm.
In that, like,
yes,
like the
no,
more arcadey
like
than
that
steep.
Kind of idea. I think you could sell for $60.
Okay, actually, now I'm liking this, and we go a step further.
This thing would totally
and there's a mode where you actually get to the bottom of the mountain, and it starts to like warm up, and then you hop on your like wave race, you know, and you get right into that, and then it's like a marathon type thing. Dude,
or you're just on the mountain. It gets real hot. The whole mountain melts, and then you got a wave race, guys.
We need to make these games.
I'm in, man. I'm in.
Y'all lost me at a certain point. I'm going to
what?
What up?
Give me a game.
Oh, man. Let me open up my
beaming
list.
Beaming with excitement after. Holy crap. Couldn't have started it better. I'm buying it.
All right.
But I literally am so excited thinking about this.
A game that should come back, or a franchise that should be brought back. I have one that I really want to get out there, but I'm going to save that because that's like my personal.
He's got like a whole pace
your
to
October
his,
surprise.
His bangers.
Yeah. I'm gonna say... Pokemon Stadium. I feel like Pokemon Stadium should come back. I don't understand why it's not a thing.
Tim.
Because they have the games looking nice already.
Yeah, but I'm talking more so like I just want to fight Pokemon. Like I just want to do like 6v6 battles with my friends, and I'm not too invested in the Game Boy games. I like them fine, but I just like the idea of going into a menu. You know, we each pick teams of six, and then we battle. And also, there's mini games.
Lickitung, sushi.
Oh yeah, Lickitung,
yeah,
sushi.
No.
Make that.
Just Pokemon Minicom collection is. Man, Pokemon Puzzle League, just bring that back.
That too. I mean,
dang
put that
it.
In there.
Why you gotta ruin my list? Let's get to that later. It's on the list. We'll get to
an
it.
An alternate idea is also like a Pokemon game mix that is like here are the mini games from Pokemon Stadium, but also here's Pokemon Snap, and then here's Pokemon Puzzle League, and just have like a Pokemon mini game collection. That'd be awesome.
It is weird to me they've never done Mario Party with Pokemon.
That is kind of weird, actually.
Like, why not just have a thing like, here's all what fucking 800 Pokemon that you can choose from for your, like, player character.
Excuse me, there was Pokemon Sorry, and that was great.
I'm sorry, what?
Pokemon
Sorry, like the board
game?
Like
the actual
board
game?
But with Pokemon.
But it was like a board game, right?
Dude. And Pokemon Monopoly.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't Pokemon Monopoly a thing?
Pokemon
and wasn't
Monopoly.
There like a Pokemon board game that I'm remembering now very very vaguely
there's
that was
literally
like...
every type of
like
Monopoly,
octagons.
By the way.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Hold an octagon board game?
No, like, there are like different pieces.
Pokemon?
Yeah, like a civilization kind of thing with Pokemon. Hold on.
What? Is this Mousetrap with Pokemon?
It's not literally civilization, but I remember as a kid going to my cousin's house and he had a big old Pokemon board game and we never understood the rules, but there was a whole bunch of different pieces that would like fit together in like an octagon shape. I'm looking this up. People know what I'm talking about.
Gotta find
you dreamt
it. Gotta
this
find
and made
it
up.
But okay, Pokemon Stadium, I just feel like we've kind of had that in the last.
Feels one dimensional.
Have we?
We Coliseum, and then we had.
And
Coliseum
yeah,
was but
Wii.
What
was the Wii?
Oh, Wii was Battle Revolution.
Yeah. Coliseum was GameCube.
They lost the narrative a bit with it, though. Like they like.
Well, it was like the game started looking better. It started making less sense to have a 3D. Like, it was one thing when there were tiny sprites on the Game Boy screen, but now it's like, well, you just put your Switch dock in
but
the game.
Like,
anyway.
But like, even Pokemon Sword and Shield don't look. I'm not gonna say they don't look as good as Pokemon.
No, they can definitely do better.
But yeah, like there's a certain level of polish and presentation in the Pokemon Stadium games, plus the fact that, like, yeah, I can go in and pick whatever Pokemon I want.
The idea of the rental Pokemon and stuff, that that could be interesting.
They do that
a mode
Sword and Shield.
Do they really?
In the rental Battle Pokemon? Stadium at the in the post game, you can just get a group of six whatever Pokemon.
Wait, really? Oh, yeah. Well, never mind. Then. I just got to
get to
the end, apparently.
How does this differ from Pokemon Go? Can you not...
Well, Pokemon Go
I didn't really
go
play much Pokemon Stadium, so...
Stadium
I thought
was...
you just have your Pokemon that you... transferred over.
So,
you
can. Yeah,
and you bring them
that,
to the stadium.
But also, if you didn't have the Game Boy game or didn't have the transfer pack, which, whatever.
Most
not to get the details.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
I didn't have that.
But yeah, so if you just had the N64 cart, mm-hmm. you would just use rental Pokemon from the game.
Right.
So you can kind of just choose who you're using. Mm-hmm. So it's like...
But you mechanically, you were just fighting like another Pokemon or someone else.
Right.
But can't you just do that in Pokemon Go?
Well, not
in
Go.
Not Go, but like the...
Sword and Shield.
Sword and Shield, yes.
Oh. I thought you could do it in Pokemon Go, though, but maybe
does
not.
Pokemon Go even have
it has
battles
now.
You can do stadium battles as a group, raids and stuff, but I thought you could.
No, there's like there's a whole PvP
thing. I thought
PvP
they added
thing.
You could fight each other,
yes, yes.
But it's not the same.
It's like you're tapping
and
a thing
Pokemon,
and then
Pokemon
guarding,
Stadium also had the gym leader tower, or whatever it was called.
It's too much Pokemon.
Surfing Pikachu.
Not enough Pokemon.
And then they also had like the main stadium area where you would go in and go in, and you'd have to beat like 8 trainers in a row. Whatever. Mm. Like, there was a certain structure to Pokemon Stadium that I felt
that they just added.
Was specifically, like, really cool and really awesome and really fun for somebody who was, at that time, Pokemon Stadium would have been my first Pokemon experience because I played Pokemon Stadium before I actually played Pokemon Blue in those games.
Well, it took the RPG out of...
Yeah. It took the RPG out of it, and it was just the battle system. And I absolutely love that. And I feel like there could be a place for that, but now that I'm hearing that Pokemon Sword and Shield kind of has that, then maybe
it's
there is
post-game,
a place for that.
So, like, you still have to get through a game to get to it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So in that same vein, this wasn't on my list, but I just thought of it. Fucking Pokemon Snap. Like, where the hell is a Pokemon Snap sequel?
I can't believe we didn't get it on the Wii, and I can't believe we didn't get it on the Wii U.
Yeah.
If the Wii U had any goddamn function, it should have been to, like, take pictures 100%. Of Pokemon.
Yes. Like, 3DS even had that big thing with, like, augmented reality. It's like, why is there not a Pokemon? And it ended up being, like, something with Pokemon Go was kind of like that, but... I want a designed rail shooter kind of thing where it was going around like, I'm going to toss a ball.
Yeah, it's a safari.
Thing. Yeah. And then tossing a ball at Snorlax will make it wake up and I can take a small picture of it. Like,
I've
that's the game
before.
I
want. Pokemon Snap, entirely overrated.
Yes, no, but it's also amazing.
But
it's overrated.
It made
but also
hotel
great.
Chains around the world.
It did.
And airplanes
it
for
did.
A reason, there Tim.
There Joey's going to come in and punch me in the face.
There was a point where I was legitimately considering as an adult buying one of the Pokemon Snap picture printing machines from Blockbuster.
Holy. Wait, are you? I love you so much.
Wow.
I went on eBay.
You
I was like,
the
you were
I was on eBay. I was like, I wonder if I can just
took?
Buy this. Like, it's like, it's actually not.
Do you remember this?
Vaguely.
Blockbuster had a machine.
You could bring it in.
That you would bring your cartridge. You, you put it in and you would print out actual pictures. And you could put Pokemon Stadium in and print out like pictures of your Pokemon like posing and shit. I still have like pictures in my drawer.
Wow.
But I was like, apparently it's not that expensive to buy the machine. It's more expensive to buy the paper the machine uses.
That's hilarious.
But it was like a couple $100. Like, maybe I should get this.
Being an adult, who the hell would have thought it was this? Oh, man.
We're not adults.
Frank, give me another one.
Well, let's just get it off the list since you mentioned it. But Pokemon Puzzle League fits right in right here, right now. I've been asking for this on every show for I don't know how long. Every
like,
time we do the best Nintendo games, yeah, I always bring it up. Okay. I'll throw it out there.
Every day, Fran is like,
I always talk about Puzzle League. But
Pokemon Puzzle League was great.
Pokemon is hot.
In fact, we should play sometime.
Tetris.
Just because I want to know how like good you guys are.
So it's like just Tetris Attack, but like...
Yeah,
well,
that's
Pokemon.
It. It was with Pokemon, but it had all like the little effects, and honestly, it was the sound effects and like the
you
little
choose your Pokemon
the little things. Also, fun fact, perfect segue. Also, NST Wave Race developers moved on. I believe. Yeah, I hope I get this right. Yeah, they did Pokemon Puzzle League. It just occurred to me. Of course, it was awesome. They were just banging out
so good
stuff. But anyway, it would work. Think about it. It works across all the platforms now. It works on Switch. You should have it on mobile. Like everything.
Yeah,
it would dominate.
I just really want to Tetris Attack. Call it Pokemon. Call it whatever. Call it Yoshi's. Whatever
I'll take Tetris
call
Attack,
before.
But it really should be Pokemon Puzzle League. And maybe to
no Pokemon, no
sell this even more, like, as you can tell, I'm not the world's biggest, most knowledgeable Pokemon fan or anything. That was the game, and it was one of my first reviews at IGN. But I was like, Pokemon are freaking awesome.
Well, that was
and that's
like,
where I learned my basics of Pokemon, was Pokemon Puzzle League.
I love that. Yeah. And, well, that game really was, and I remember this just from playing, like, the first video game that felt like it was related to the cartoon more than
the game. Yeah, because they had the
Pokemon
voice actors and all
kind
that.
Of had moments acting. Like they were like, oh, Jesse and James are here or whatever. But like that game straight up used images from the cartoon.
Yeah, like, maybe that's why I liked it so much. Yeah, it had all those little like animated touches, and then the sound effects from the actors that would be.
And it was like
you'd get a combo and be like Squirtle.
There was a Game Boy version that had like an actual gym mode where you like go down a path to fight gym leaders.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, that's. We can move on.
I sent to Assets an image.
Oh boy, he's gonna show something. Anyway, yeah, I'm off Pokemon Puzzle League now. That was a perfect segue, though. Wave race right into that.
I'm gonna bring one up specifically for Bless.
Okay.
Def Jam.
Oh.
Fight for New York.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
it's time. It's fucking time.
The rap game has changed so much,
and that's what I wanted.
There's
to
so
dude,
much.
I
gold.
Want it to be like a
There's
fucking
so beef.
World War. You know what I mean? Like, I call it something dope. Dude, I don't know. I don't know what.
Yeah.
But just have it be like the different styles battling against each other.
Oh my god. Get mumble rap in there versus
Fuck
the conscious rap versus like hardcore drug rap, which is basically mumble rap. It'll be great.
It would be great. Were you into Def Jam Vendetta?
Yeah. It was
Def Jam Fight for New York.
It was one of EA's many hits at the time, right? It was cool. It actually I feel like it borrowed its mechanics from. Did they have a wrestling game at the time?
Yeah, Def Jam Vendetta was specifically a wrestling game.
Well, it was also like it was Aki, the people who made the WWF.
But right,
WWF
but they made one
C.
for EA,
which was
first.
Def Jam.
Oh no, they just comboed up for that one.
Yeah,
but yeah, it had like legit mechanics. It wasn't just like a gimmick of like the Def Jam brand. It was legit, like a fun
like
fighter.
Really
you'd be like
game.
Fighting up against like a gas station.
Well, Vendetta, Vendetta was just wrestling.
Yeah,
it
Vendetta
was
literally
fine.
Like
was
a wrestling ring, and then
but Fight for New York was like. A legitimate
is that the
great
one I'm thinking
game.
Of?
That's the one where like there's
with
the
story
station.
Mode.
Is that the second one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe that Budden was fighting Method Man.
Okay. And that's the one we're saying bring back.
That's great.
I want that. I want like a modern version of that because I feel like it could totally
work. Who would be in the roster? Because Kendrick would be in there.
Oh,
for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, was it only Def Jam artists?
That's my thing is like, we'd have to get past that.
Yeah, we'd have to like expand. And so yeah, Kendrick would have to be in there. J. Cole, I would say, would have to be in there. I said you get Joe Budden back in, even
just
though
just for the fuck of it.
Yeah, even just because like they already have the assets. Just up-res that thing. Put
Drake,
it in there. Drake would have to be in there for sure.
Lil Wayne.
Yeah, yeah. Lil Yachty.
God,
would have to be in there.
There'll be a whole little section.
Yeah,
it's all the Lils.
Lil Pump would probably have to be like an unlockable character.
Definitely.
Let's
throw Macklemore in there. You know what I mean?
Oh my god, Macklemore would get thrown for sure.
Just throw him in there.
That roster be fire.
Imran
to it.
All right, so this is not technically dead, as it had a new game last year, but the new game sucked. It was nothing like the old games. I fucking want a new Contra.
Ooh,
oh, I thought
you
were Metal Gear Solid.
There it is.
I was like, wait, did Metal Gear Survive?
Totally.
Last year?
Now, what are you envisioning?
So I'm envisioning basically what we got with Contra 4, honestly. Like, a 2D new game that is a shooter where you're constantly holding down that button, you die in one hit, and you do not, for any reason, ever stop. Like, that is that game I want. I don't know why Konami is not making that game. Why would you ever make a new Contra that is not any of those things?
Like, does it need to be a 2D side-scroller?
Yes. Contra would need to be a 2D side-scroller.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion on the Metal Slug franchise?
I like Metal Slug a lot. I think it is geared primarily to be kill you more than it is to, like, be a fun game. Because those are arcade games primarily, so they want you to
pop
in quarters.
Yeah.
Contra is built to be a... I mean, it did come from an arcade game, but... More and more, it's more like just a fun video game that you're meant to play. And you do die, but you don't, like, you learn from it.
Yeah.
I don't think Metal Slug is all about learning. I think it's about getting screwed over quite a bit.
I never thought about that way. And I guess that does make a lot of sense. Because I would want to see a modern Metal Slug with that art style. Thank you very much. With that type of art style. But, like, modernized, right? Like, with everything we're seeing with, like, Guilty Gear and shit.
Yeah.
Give me a Metal Slug like that.
I wouldn't be shocked if they're, like... If they made a new Metal Slug at some point, it's just like a cel-shaded 2D kind of thing.
Yeah. It'd be cool.
Yeah.
But so with Contra, I'm in, but what would make it work nowadays?
That's a harder question.
Yeah, it's like you're sound like you want a newer version that's just sort of perfected on something that you already like, which, like how much of that is new so much is like, oh, it's just new for you.
Yeah, and that's kind of like a broader thing of like, old stuff tends to do fairly well, but only within the indie space. So, like, you could bring back a game, call it, like, Bontra, and it plays exactly like Contra, and it would still do okay, but probably not the numbers Konami wants.
What was the Contra game that wasn't Contra that they put out on PS3 that was freaking fantastic with the really cool anime art style?
Hardcore Uprising.
Yes.
Yeah, that was Arxis made that game, I think.
That was awesome.
Really? Yeah.
Then like, really I feel cool. like that's kind of an example of this, but do that again.
Yes. I mean, I want something like that. Like, that was a full game that was fun. I wish that was on Xbox One backwards compatibility. I've been, like, begging for it to be on social media, and, like, obviously no one's listening at this point. But I just want that kind of game, at least. Like, I want a game where me and a friend are playing co-op and just shooting at weird angles and fighting giant bosses every 3 minutes.
Now, have you played Cuphead?
I have played Cuphead.
Does it scratch that itch?
It's different.
It is different. Yeah. But it is exactly what you just described.
But it also is like massively influenced by Contra. They've admitted as much. Like, there's a boss in Cuphead that is literally just a boss from Contra Hardcore. Mm-hmm. Just
awesome.
Over again.
That's freaking
awesome. Oh, really?
Awesome. Yeah. Did you play a Shattered Soldier?
The PS2
on the
one?
The PS2?
Yes.
I fucking loved that game. Me and my best friend rented it like 10 times, and we've to this day never beat it.
There's parts of it I like.
I want to sit down with him. We got to do it. We got to bring
always
it back.
Died at a train boss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember how early on that was. I was like, this is hard.
I always got stuck in the level that you're like flying in the air and you're holding onto a missile and you're just like, you're spinning around the missile. God, Contra's awesome.
Yeah, Contra kicks ass.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Fran, what's another one?
Well, another one we got to get off the list that was brought up recently, Eternal Darkness. Okay? Hear me out. Understand it didn't make our most iconic Nintendo games of all time, which we got all kinds of beef about. This is one of them. But reboot Eternal Darkness, yes, needs to happen. However, of course, we all know as a history lesson, the studio's dissolved, the creators all over the place.
Disgraced.
Now. Nintendo still owns. They're still making stuff up there. Like Dennis is working on, I forget the name
he's
of the
He's working on Eternal Darkness. Legacy of Kain spiritual sequel.
That's right.
It's but he like he did try to kickstart an Eternal Darkness spiritual successor.
Yes, and that
two
was...
or three times. That at one point ended because one of the programmers was a pedophile?
Yes. Yeah. That was the studio. Yeah. It's a curse.
Hate to see it so much.
We weren't supposed to go that deep in the history because I feel like it's... I don't care. I know Dennis very well, I should admit. Like, I would say he's a friend of mine. I've known him.
He kind of lost his mind over the last 5 or 6 years.
I don't, like, talk
years.
To him every day or anything, but, like, through the many years in the industry. So, that disclaimer aside, actually, back to Eternal Darkness. I mean, yeah, the Nintendo owns a franchise. Studios dissolved. However, at its core, I do believe Eternal Darkness had a lot of makings of what would make an awesome modern day game. Like, it had, as clunky as it was, you know, back then, and like whether or not it even holds up, but like it had these mind tricks, whether I don't know if you could pull that type of stuff off these days the same as Metal Gear had, right?
Plug it like in.
They would have to be different. Yeah,
yeah, you have to redesign
especially
a little bit.
Switch.
But horror games are awesome now, right? Like, horror games, you can do so much. I mean, heck, I mean, maybe VR is even an element, but you got all the horror stuff going on. But it also had some pretty like deep lore, which, you know, people are super into, like a lot of sort of history woven into it and then twisted around, like Alexander the Great, there was like a reference to that, and then Edgar Allan Poe, and it had like a lot of cool stuff around that. And then on top of it, it did have cool like spell and RPG, action RPG systems like at a base. So I feel like if you modernized all that and did it right, it actually would be like really cool.
Let me throw this out there. What if they modernized it as a first-person game a la PT or like some of the horror survival games?
Could totally work. I mean, a big moment in it, right, there's like a jump scare. You just go into a bathroom, and I remember like actually jumping because of what happened in there. But there's a lot of, jump scares can be cheap now.
Was it Eternal Darkness?
I felt like it did it
that,
right.
Like, had the gag where they turned down the volume on your TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So like that was one where like you literally like... they had to like get the volume like iconography right for probably the TV you had, but some people thought they were like their house was like haunted all of a sudden.
I knew it wasn't mine. Like that, I was like, that doesn't look like my TV. But like for like half a second, wait, what's happening?
And the people who did have that, it was like the green bar iconography, whatever.
One of my TVs had that.
So I remember like a couple years ago. I mean, at this point, I think it was at the old studio. We were like predicting what we think might happen, and I remember one of the predictions we brought up was that Retro was going to be working on Eternal Darkness, like
really,
that obviously would be cool. Didn't happen, but wouldn't that have been really cool?
Who would you give it to now, though? If it's
that's my thing,
Kojima Productions.
I was going to say, that makes sense.
Yeah, they worked together. On Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, so they have that history. So you could still have Dennis involved and maybe some of the original
members. That would be
great.
Could you imagine, the next Nintendo Direct, you see a Kojima Productions logo, and then they show Eternal Darkness? Do you know how, things would pop off?
What was that thing they were teasing this week? Remember, like, they had a
I think it was the PC release date.
Okay.
Oh, they were teasing the PC release date. However,
but it was like a bad
because they had like a notebook that said Silent Hills on it.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show. Like, and I looked at Greg and I was like, what are they doing? Because this is obviously not going to be Silent Hills.
Somebody, there was like a screenshot with something in the background that had a hill in it. And people were going to those depths of like, Kojima's working on Silent Hill. And they're like, I don't think they're ever going
to
get back together.
I feel like you don't get to be like a puppet master who like hides all these things in your games and then like, be like, oh, it was just a tease. Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. But anyway, Eternal Darkness would be dope. I should even note that the studio had gone to lengths at that time. Like, they worked with psychologists and stuff like that. And, like, you know, they had a lot of that. Like,
oh, Ninja Theory would be good.
No, I was going to say Ninja Theory could also
be Ninja Theory would be very good. I actually would want it to not be a Nintendo exclusive. I would want them to give up the franchise. That's say, we're done with it. We're not going to, they will never do it. But that's my dream if you're going to reboot it, is give it up, make it multi-platform. If they still want to have it on there, cool. But I'd love to see it across platforms, on PC even.
An easy one. If this is the most requested topic of all time, the second most requested thing is for us to talk about what a PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale should look like. And I feel like that is a franchise that really, really deserves another shot. And I think that they could do it right if they just copy Smash Brothers.
It was so weird that they didn't.
Entirely. Like, they fucked it up, man.
Yeah, I don't know why they tried to make the mechanics
like
different.
Problem one was they should have just gone, we know it's like Smash, who cares?
Yes.
Problem two was they didn't have the right licensing deals in
exactly.
place.
Exactly. Now, all that's out the window. Ultimate proved. Anything can fucking happen.
Yeah.
And it's like PlayStation's also in a different place where their cast of characters is getting to this point where it's iconic. Like, they have so many new characters and for their whole franchises that, like, you can see the roster screen in your head right now.
Yeah.
And it'd be freaking awesome. And sure, licensing might be difficult, but they can get Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like, they could get, like, all Aloy and, like, all this stuff. Yeah. I feel like it could be really freaking cool. And
there'd be so
they'd
many
finally
cool
have
characters
Crash and Cloud and, like, all the things that they should have had in the first one.
I feel like the tough thing is Nintendo has the benefit of having so many characters that are cartoony and animated and can coexist, even though they're... At a certain point, Cloud fighting Pac-Man, fighting Solid Snake gets super weird visually, but it still works because Smash Brothers has style.
Yeah. That's the thing. Visually, it works. You can have Banjo fight Hero or Terry Bogard, and it still makes sense.
I feel like Smash still has that, like, cemented, most of our characters are cartoony, and so we kind of have that for Nintendo, whereas for Sony, I feel like most of their iconic figures are more realistic characters. Like, Spider-Man, Aloy,
Drake fighting Parappa was always weird. Like, I don't know why, like, maybe it was an art style thing specifically that made that look strange, but when you looked at it, I was like, this does not look like it... If Smash Brothers did this, it would look different. I'm not sure how.
Yeah.
It's hard to attack like that.
Yeah,
but
that's kind of where I'm
Well, you're,
I'm
you're
at.
Nailing the Yeah, Smash developed a specific style. It's not like it's just Pac-Man, right? Like, they were able to do it in just the way their engine is and the lighting. And, like, Sony needs
that exact
thing.
Every Smash
like,
game has its own, well, not every, but most Smash games have their own vibe and own look to, like, the character designs all fitting in. Like, but if you look at Brawl, like, they went realistic with Brawl. Like, Brawl is super dark, lots of shadows, a lot of denim. Everyone's wearing denim.
Yeah, I miss that Mario so much. You know what the denim
weird
Mario.
Weird articulated finger Mario.
Yeah, where, like, when he used the fireball, like, it was actual fire. It was
like, see the joint in his hand.
Exactly. That was my point, is it is, they are honestly really good. There's a subtlety to it that it doesn't look weird.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get, like, with PlayStation All-Stars. Like, it was a little off at times, right?
But the thing is, we just need a good design Bible. Like, they just need somebody that, like, really, like, is going to look at this and not just be like, oh, let's throw it all together. Like, there's so many great ideas in Battle Royale that I would want to see back. I liked how the stages weren't just one thing. They would take two games and mash them together. Mm-hmm. Like, that's
actually a really good idea. It just
really
needed to be more random. It couldn't have been the same thing over and over.
Exactly. And I just feel like that's the thing. There was a good foundation there. Now PlayStation's in a way better place to actually make that game.
Yeah, I think you're right. They never gave it a chance, and look at how much Smash has sold. Like, look at that Crash also solved the cart problem for them, and, like, just do the same thing with All-Stars. Absolutely.
What if they just throw that whole thing out, Smash Brothers template entirely, just make a Power Stone? Like a 3D fighter.
I thought that's what it was going to be when it was announced, by the way.
Because, like, PlayStation has a much bigger, like, history with 3D than it does with 2D stuff.
Yeah, but, like, the Smash formula just works so well.
We just need
to
copy it.
Honestly, I'm with Tim.
I'm not necessarily sold on it because I still look at Smash as the definitive version of that. And I feel like at a certain point, like...
It's like, come at the king, you better not miss kind of thing.
Yeah, like, and I feel like... I would rather just see Aloy in Smash. Like if I really wanted to play PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale,
waiting a while.
I would just play Smash because like Cloud is in there. Like I forget what other like
it has more
Joker's
PlayStation icons
there.
Than PlayStation All Stars did.
So here's my thing.
Like, and also if I saw like in a debut trailer for PlayStation All Star Battle Royale, right? Or even if you showed me like a screenshot, I feel like I wouldn't get excited or hyped. Like I would,
but
I feel
like that's on them to change that. Like I would want a Smash clone straight the fuck up. But that brand is so powerful that like it doesn't need to be a fighting game at all. It could be a kart racer. It could be something different. Yeah. Just you have all these awesome characters. Put them together. You know, collab with Capcom and actually make a like 2D fighting game. Like make it a 2D fighting game. You know what I mean?
I think that would be that'd be really awesome. Like a PlayStation Capcom like MVC sort of thing.
Spider-Man
model.
Make
it.
Yeah, that's true.
Or like a hero shooter. So you are the characters, but eventually you shoot. But you also can use some of your powers. It's like, right, that's what makes Overwatch yesterday. I could go for that.
Didn't they have like a really shitty move game that
was
like Sly and Ratchet? And
which was so hype. Like the idea of it was, do you remember this?
No.
It was like a game. Was it
PlayStation
Move
Heroes?
That's what it was. And it was like Jack and Daxter, Sly, this. Ratchet and Clank all
I
together.
I do remember this.
Fuck yeah, man.
Like I love that idea, but just like, it's like the Mario and Sonic the Olympics problem. Like, okay, you've made enough of these. Make a fucking platformer now. I just want to see these characters like,
real.
And they're a real thing.
Yeah. Bless.
Barry, did you ever get the Slack I sent for this Pokemon board game? Can you bring it up?
More Pokemon, man.
So apparently, I misremembered, but
this is what you're
talking Pokemon
about,
Champion
sort of.
Island. It was basically like a board, and what I thought were like polygons were actually just straight up circles. And then like,
is this like Pogs? Like, what is this?
I don't know what the game is. My cousin owned it, and we would play it, but we had no idea what the rules
so
were.
So for those listening, right, what are we seeing?
Champion Island DVD board game.
It's
$120.
Island with like a Mario.
Yeah, right now it's expensive.
Super Mario World style map on it, and then there's like circular discs.
Yes.
Which we don't know what you do with.
And I still have no idea what you do with them.
And there's a DVD that you watch, which gotta be the best.
Play this on most DVD players. Jesus
somebody remembers this. I'm sure somebody
Pokemon
listening is like, oh yeah, Pokemon Champion Island. My next game, Jet Force Gemini.
You motherfucker.
We knew it was
all this goddamn show is us bringing up the same shit every week.
Know,
I'm guilty too.
I have my list here and I'm like,
it's every rare game.
I'm like, I can't bring up Burnout again. I can't bring up like there's certain games that I bring up every single episode or every single show we're on. But Jet Force Gemini, I feel like actually fits for this one.
I am surprised how much you love that game.
Oh my God.
I can't stand it.
I love Jet Force Gemini. The thing about Jet Force Gemini is that I feel like it doesn't get the respect it deserves.
It's hungry. I think part of it is because the art style is horrific. The art style is horrific.
How?
Like the weird, like the people with like giant fucking eyes. And
yeah.
Remember they changed.
They
that
look
style.
Like somebody trying CG porn for the first time.
Yeah.
that's true.
What's the issue?
It's like, that's what makes it so
wrong.
Hot.
So Jet Force Gemini, right? Third person shooter on the N64. It's exploration based. Well, actually kind of starts off pretty linear because you're going from planet to planet. Mm-hmm. We're going from level to level, make your way through the levels, and then eventually your three different characters meet on the same level, and then that's halfway through the game, and then eventually it turns into a more explorative experience because you're looking for different ship parts. I digress, right? It's a third person shooter, platforming elements, all this stuff. Right now, Microsoft owns that game because it was a Rare game on N64, and when Microsoft bought Rare, they also got the rights to that game.
Actually picked up Jet Force Gemini.
Well, it's
that
Rare
was
replay,
a Rare.
So I,
it was a Rare game. Yeah, because that was what got confusing. Like,
yes,
certain games, if Rare didn't publish it, Nintendo did anyway.
Yeah,
so they have Jet Force Gemini.
They have Jet Force Gemini, and it's a game that I think could actually work pretty good today because at the base of it, it's just a third person shooter. Right, like we know how to make third-person shooters
adventure
now.
Adventure elements.
The issue with it on N64 is that was during a time where third-person shooters weren't really. I mean,
it also came out in like 2001, like or late 2000. It was real late.
Yeah, it was very late. I want to say like 99 or two. It was the same year as
the case. Yeah, it was somewhere around there.
1999, yes.
1999. But yeah, it came out on the N64, and that controller is not really made for third-person shooters.
Yeah.
In fact, like that was very much a time where we're still in the process of figuring that out.
It was like movement with the C sticks and like
aiming
with
the
analog.
I feel like
C buttons then, right? Because it's N64.
Yeah,
the
C buttons.
You didn't have dual analog.
Well, you would strafe. Well, depending on what your controller layout was, because you can switch it. Because they start off on the expert control style, which was the bad decision. They should have defaulted it to the regular control style, strafing, which makes it so that the stick is still you move. The left and right C buttons, sorry, that you strafe left and right, and then up and down the C buttons as you change your weapon. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'd totally be down for it. I feel like Jet Force, for me, it was a game I was so excited about for so long. And, yeah, went through, like, some art style changes that I didn't totally like. But once it finally came out, I was like, well, I like it. But it never blew me away that I would agree that I'd love to see it, but I feel like it also hasn't earned.
I think that it hasn't earned sure
the you must have a sequel.
It definitely didn't earn that. But
it had potential.
I think the main sin with Jet Force Gemini, and this is going to sound like comedy, but I'm being serious, is I was too ahead of its time.
What?
The only thing bad about Gears of War is it was
in
too
what
good.
Way?
It was way too ahead of its time.
The bug-eyed porn stuff? Or what?
No, but like
I love that we hired you and Barry. Like, we just have these fucking clowns out here.
Here he comes.
Yo, DK64 should also come back.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, there's DK64.
Oh, man.
No, like Jet Force Gemini, ahead of its time for the sense that, yeah, it was trying to be a.
It was post GoldenEye, post Perfect Dark. Like, it's not that ahead of its time.
Yeah, but those are first person shooters, though. Like, I'm talking about as like a third person shooter that is about, you know, exploring these different planets and like having like an overarching narrative. That was not a popular thing on the N64 at all.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, like,
did you know that there was a spiritual sequel made by X-Rare developers?
Was it Tamarind?
What was it called?
Has that come out? Because I've been. I literally emailed them.
I apparently did a preview on it last year. So it's not out yet. Tamarind?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out. Yeah. Tamarind. Yeah. It was part of the Kind of Funny game showcase. It was supposed to come out last summer.
I don't remember that at
all. And it just never came out. I'm still waiting on it, Tamarind developers.
I did a preview out in April.
Man. Yeah. But that's a game I think it could make an appearance again.
We're going
to
get
actually
real
be a good
with
game.
These choices, people. I mean,
I'm totally legit.
How are we going to live in the past, okay?
What?
Like, these are forgotten franchises. That's the topic of the show, forgotten franchises.
I feel like we're all reliving the past. Can we throw something good out there?
Go for it,
what your good thing is.
Then let's get it out of the way. Half-Life. We don't have to go too far.
We're getting Half-Life out
no,
this week.
Or this true Half-Life. So I just want to make sure that it's out there and it was said. Like, obviously, we need Half-Life 3 in a proper
They actually
sequel.
Said something, like,
they said something
indicating today.
Yeah, they said something today.
Yes. No
yeah.
way.
They're saying that they're looking forward to making
more Half-Life
like,
games.
No, there's, like, a bigger part of the Half-Life thing. And, like, they said refresh yourself on episode 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But meaning, to be fair, I know that Half-Life Alyx is coming out, but that's not like a true Half-Life.
And they're saying people at their studio would love to make
we
more
need
Half-Life
that.
After Half-Life Alyx.
And
please buy this.
I'm just going to throw Portal out there with it. Like, I'd happily see both of those two. Like, come on, Valve. Let's get
I don't know where they take
it.
Portal next, because like Portal 2 was already feeling like, okay, you're kind of stretching this idea as far as it can go. So, like, what does Portal 3 look like?
Maybe get some more shooting in it. I don't know. Maybe get a little more
I believe
Half-Life.
In them.
I think they're just trying
out.
To backdoor Half-Life into.
You know what? Just put Portal somewhere within Half-Life 3 as like you
That's
branch out
That's what I assumed they
it.
Were going to do.
Yeah, like, because the worlds like we're crossing.
Right? I would assume Portal was a test for like what they had for Half-Life 3, but then they never made Half-Life 3. Mm-hmm. So
I would just like to see Portal outside of the test area. You know, like,
yeah,
have her like actually experience what the world is today, and like
weird.
Maybe it's all
brings the portal gun
like
with
that.
Her.
Yeah,
that'd be
yeah.
controversial.
That'd be cool.
Put the portal gun in Breath of the Wild 2.
Yes,
cool. I would love like Half-Life 3, like halfway through playing Half-Life 3 in 2022, like I keep saying, you then drop down into like a different facility and it is Aperture Laboratories.
Yeah.
And then you play 10 hours of Portal and then you get back out.
Right.
And then you continue Half-Life 3. Can you imagine?
But I do know it sounds obvious, but again, to be fair, like it's been well over a decade, you know, that we have not had Half-Life. And like, mm-hmm. I know we're getting Alyx, but that's not. So
yeah.
I just want to make sure we didn't consider it a not dead game because it is actually it is
Half-Life?
Even though Half-Life Alyx yes we're getting Half-Life Alyx though so let's wait and see but that's not a proper
it kind of makes fun of me for Jet Force Gemini
yeah
and bust out Half-Life
all right let me throw this one out there Prince of Persia.
Motherfucker, ooh. Top of my list, baby.
We have not 100%.
Go.
We've not seen a legit Prince of Persia game since what was the one Jake Gyllenhaal won.
Yeah.
It came out alongside
Forgotten
the movie.
Sands.
Forgotten Sands. Mm-hmm. The one before that was just Prince of Persia, the 2008 cel-shaded one.
Yes, then which was also incredible.
It was also great. I didn't like the fighting system, but the rest of that game was fantastic. Then the trilogy before that, which I loved 1 and 3 so much.
I loved all of them, and I understand who had its issues, and it was emo,
so
and blah, 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 blah. But, like, the time shit that they did of death shit. Like, the idea of 2 is dope as fuck. And, like, the combat system was awesome, and the puzzles were great. It just had
How
a lot
was
of 2 butt
different
rock.
From 1 again? I thought it
was very edgelordy.
2
like,
went straight up, like,
the
death metal.
The side of Hot Topic, like, you don't want to look at when you walk in. You're like,
They got so embarrassed by 2 that at the beginning of 3, they just said, like, hey, people say this happened, but actually it didn't. That none of that happened. We did it totally differently.
Well, what's crazy about that? I played it. Yeah, I just don't remember. Prince of Persia, like that trilogy to me was like everything. Like it was one of those franchises where at E3 I was waiting for the trailer for that shit. And I would watch it over and over and over. And the Two Thrones, the third game, the trailers they showed at E3 were a totally different game.
Yeah.
Like, all the story beats were following up on Warrior Within, and they were really dark, and I really thought they were awesome. And then we get the game, and they were just like, nah, it's different. We threw all of that out, and that made 3 kind of lame to me. I loved it, but I feel like the story, like, felt like a weird concession where it, like, wasn't committing to what it needed.
No, definitely.
It's kind of like fucking Star Wars, really.
clearly they had no idea what to do with Prince of Persia at that point, and they still don't know what to do with it now. What would a modern Prince of Persia look like?
Yeah, that's what I was going to
ask. Is it just Assassin's Creed?
Unfortunately, like, it's Assassin's Creed, right? Like, and
so it would have a lot more Assassin's Creed is fighting evolved, and action,
which is the weird thing.
It is, right? Yeah. That was my thing, is like, you know, the team went on to make Assassin's Creed 1, and I remember being so disappointed. Like, one, I didn't really like Assassin's Creed, and two, it was like, oh man, like, this means we're not getting a Prince of Persia. Like, fuck. But then Assassin's Creed figured its shit out and like has totally evolved and changed. But
the heart of Prince was the platforming and the puzzle and the discovery, right?
Like, and the parkour. Right,
yeah,
like the
exactly.
movement, the like the feeling.
But
it of
wasn't
it all.
To fight something; it was to avoid fighting something. Right for beginning
was,
of it.
There was a lot of. Combat.
I mean, it was based like right. Prince of Persia originally was, a platformer, and funnily enough, it was a quote dead game, and then they rebirthed it, you know, and then it became this really cool Mario, almost Mario inspired in some ways, but obviously still Prince of Persia in a 3D world. And the time mechanic of making the mistake of that was a crap jump, you know, and I got to go
God,
backwards.
What a fantastic framing device that was, though, of like, no, that didn't happen. Let me explain to you how it really happened.
Oh, my
like,
God, dude.
Oh.
And spoilers for fucking Prince of Persia Sands of Time. But when he kisses Farrah at the end and then rewinds to kiss her again, I'm like, this is the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. Dude, I would love it, man. And I would take anything Prince of Persia at this point.
Yeah.
Well, on a real console, not the weird augmented reality thing they're
putting
out.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
That they just announced. But I feel like I'd even be down as much. The trilogy is really where my heart is. For On Sense, not that bad. The movie tie-in game, like, because it kind of went back to the original ideas.
Yeah.
But I'd even be okay with just a reboot in the style of 2008 where it's like, we're just going to do something different. Like, it's not going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like a new Prince of Persia.
I mean, honestly, I want
the Breath of the Wild treatment, quote unquote, you know, like some reinvention of it and still decor. But it shouldn't be the same adventure platforming stuff.
I like Ubisoft, but like all they make these days are open world games. I want them to just make something linear and like Prince of Persia again.
I'd love that. Yeah. Fucking love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw one out there. Got? Time Crisis.
Mm.
So here's the thing. I've said this
Get
on many shows before.
Get your golden eye in a way. Huh?
I'm going to go.
Oh, Time Crisis. Sorry. I thought you said Time Splitters first.
Well, Time
That's
Splitters.
That's also on your list. Okay.
It's next on my list.
Sorry.
But Time Crisis and Point Blank. Talked about these many times on Games Daily and stuff. Do you remember Point Blank?
I'm trying to remember Point Blank.
Mini game collection on PlayStation 1 that was, it was just a Namco shooter, like light gun shooter. I want both of them, but I'm going to go with Time Crisis because like it makes a bit more sense.
Mm-hmm. Combine them in one game, just like you did with Wave Race and 1080. I'm going to make it one game.
But I want a dope, honest-to-goodness Time Crisis VR game.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would have to be VR.
And I want them to commit so hard.
That'd be cool.
It's all, like, VR is meant
for light
gun
games,
man. And yeah, this thing is, like, let's just, like, really go hard and, do some interesting dope shit that you can only do in VR with the Time Crisis idea.
So does that take it off the rails, or are you still on the rails? You know what I mean?
Still on rails.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's why I loved Until Dawn, not Rondo of Blood. What was it called?
Until Dawn, Rush of Blood.
I freaking loved it. PlayStation VR launch title, and essentially it was just like, hey, you're on a roller coaster, and it's a light gun game. And I'm like, great, you guys understand how to use VR, which is keep you still and just have you move around and shoot things.
I mean, I think that's the awesome thing about Blood and Truth is that it kind of has the best of both worlds, where it's pretty much on rails because you're going down like a linear path, but you then get to choose kind of where you go in terms of where you're going to take cover. And, you know, in some areas, you kind of have to solve like which direction you're going to go by pointing and I guess, pressing the button. But I think that type of game works perfectly in VR, especially from the perspective, I was talking about this during the Half-Life Alyx gameplay, is that you kind of have to, you know, dodge undercover and actively reload and do different things like that. That stuff works perfectly.
So my thing is, like, Blood and Truth, that's fantastic. And that's definitely the direction I'm talking about. But make it more arcadey. Make it more about scores. Make it more about like wanting to play like short little bursts that you're doing over and over because you want to do even better. How do you combine Beat Saber
and that's what I was thinking when you said that.
Like a light gun shooter into one thing in VR? I think it could be really freaking cool. Really cool. I feel like Time Crisis could do it.
My worry with Time
Crisis from what's their name? Harmonix. What's the name of their game?
Oh, that
the shooting. It's the shooting Beat Saber. I was just like, did that with. God, what is it called?
I don't know what it's called.
Frequency, right? No, the more recent thing.
I don't know why I forgot.
They also had a shooter a while ago that they canceled. But
anyway. Thinking of Fuser. No, I'm just kidding. It's not
Fuser.
Which I typed down DJ Hero and then deleted it. Great. I love DJ Hero, but I don't know if it should come back though.
Yeah, I loved it too, but I'm.
It was great for a time.
Mm-hmm.
For a year.
Oh yeah, Autica.
For months.
That was okay.
Imran,
that'd be cool.
I really want to see a new Klonoa, and I like it's never been the most popular series, but like it was so we don't have enough interesting, I guess, cutesy mascot platformers anymore. It's pretty much just Mario and Sonic and like a couple others. Everyone else from that era is more or less gone.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see them try their hands at like, okay, we know this isn't working anymore. Let's try it again, but let's put it with like modern graphics, modern design sensibilities. Let's keep it 2D because like we don't need to put any 2D platform 3D. But it's so strange to me that they haven't taken one of their old mascot ideas, or Bandai Namco hasn't, back to a better sensibility now.
Yeah. I was never into the Klonoa games. There's something about it where it felt not tight enough.
I can see that. They're very much like you don't have the air control you need to until you grab onto an enemy, and then you suddenly do. Yeah. So it became a lot of like plotting your things out before you make your jump.
Yeah.
Brand.
Interesting pick. All right. Another one that I had very high up the list that and now I'm starting to feel like the obvious ones you guys are going to be like, well, I mean, of course.
Before you say it, let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Omax's Cryo Freeze. Living with chronic pain is the worst. It's more than a feeling of discomfort. It can affect your entire life. Many of you guys have probably dealt with this stuff. I know I've dealt with some issues in my life, but my beautiful fiance Gia, she's dealt with chronic pain her entire life. She's tried everything. And, you know, things work here, things work there. But something that's been helping her out a lot is this Cryo Freeze. Here's the thing. Enter Omax Health. If you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On, developed by Omax Health. This non-prescription triple-action pain relief roll-on is specifically formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. And the best part is it is 100% natural. CBD-powered remedy works its magic within 10 minutes of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours. Much longer than over-the-counter products. Omax Health is offering you guys 20% off a full bottle of CryoFreeze CBD Pain Relief Roll-On plus free shipping. This discount also applies towards any product site-wide. Wow. Just go to omaxhealth.com. That's OmaxHealth.com today and enter code KINDA to get 20% off CryoFreeze and everything site-wise. That's omaxhealth.com. Enter code KINDA to get 20% off now. Next up, shout out to Manscaped. Man, we've all been there. We've all been shaving our balls and something bad happens. And that's the worst place that you want something bad to happen. You can fix all that. No more nicking your nuts. No more cutting your nuts. Keep your nuts clean. Keep your nuts looking good. But keep your nuts safe. That's the most important part. No more cuts and nicks with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. This is the third generation trimmer featuring advanced skin-safe technology so you can keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. So here's the deal. This thing is premium. I'm talking real damn premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take an even longer shave. If you're shaving your nuts for 90 minutes, I'm impressed at the size of your nuts. You won't need to take that long, but it's good to know you have the options. Good to know, Barrett. Good to know. Many people have written in stories about how Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives, keeping their things clean. You know what I mean? Those things down there in the down. I don't know what I'm talking about, Barrett. I'm looking at you and I'm talking about balls. I never thought we'd be here.
I know. Look at us.
Here we are. But both of us got some nice clean balls, right?
Yep.
There we go. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code KINDA at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code KINDA at manscaped.com. I recently gave Blessing the Lawnmower 3.0. I haven't heard anything yet, but chances are His balls are looking real good. Next up, Upstart. Segue. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully now, there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows that you are more than just your credit score, and they offer smarter interest rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debts, like the debt that one of my best friends had, and he had to really search within himself to figure out how does he think he's going to get through this. And Upstart helped him with all of it. Consolidated all his payments into just one monthly thing, super easy to deal with. They go beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. They make it fast. They make it simple. They make it easy. It's the trifecta of things you want. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. You can free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. You can see why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/kinda to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/.
All right. Ninja Gaiden. It's time.
Oh my god, yeah. Fuck, you're like, so right.
But it's weird because we're kind of getting it with Neo, but that's not Ninja Gaiden, obviously.
No.
Not at all. But it's, you know, it's some of the team members, and yeah. But we have the evolution now of Sekiro, Dark Souls, Neo.
Well, Ninja Gaiden 3 was 2011. It sucked. Yeah. It was bad. But
2011 is a long time ago now.
Nearly we're talking, a decade.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy if it was all that long ago. So it is kind of a dead game. And like, why? It almost like is odd. You have
got so critically panned that they're like, we're taking a break from this for a while.
And I get that. And maybe it was the right move for the team and they moved around and, you know, things like that happen internally. But the brand itself is so strong, I feel like. I don't think they'd have trouble bringing back a Ninja Gaiden. And Ninja Gaiden Black, I remember when that came out, like, so freaking tough. And that was just a bold move at the time, I feel like. It wasn't like a pushover game. And, like, that's what people are loving right now, you know, with Sekiro and all this. And, like, we don't know exactly what Ghost of Tsushima will be, but the vibe, all of it, it just seems to make perfect sense. I have to wonder.
Those all seem like slower games than a Ninja Gaiden. Like, Ninja Gaiden, at a character action perspective, is relentless offense.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot stop attacking for any reason because they will kill you the second you do.
Yeah.
So what would that look like, though? If Ninja Gaiden came back, do you think that they would slow it down to be a bit more like the Souls games, or do you think that they would just do it again?
I think like stuff like Devil May Cry and Platinum Games succeeds these days, so why not lean into it?
Yeah.
Go as hard as you can. It's got to be somewhere in between. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, like Devil May Cry is a good – that's a good point. It's so over the top, though. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard
Ninja
to imagine.
Ninja Gaiden's also pretty damn over the top. Two had a – what's the Statue of Liberty that attacked you? Or like a giant – thing in New York or something like that.
I don't know. I'm envisioning more pure, like, Ninja Gaiden originally, at least when I first played it, you know, on the NES or whatever, was like, it just stood for being, you know, that shinobi, like, stealthy. And I know it was just kind of a move from left to right action game. Well, yeah. And you jumped up as well. It was a little bit platformer, but at its core, it was like, you're a freaking ninja. Mm-hmm. And I just say, roll with that. So, no, it's not like it's Dark Souls and all magical and weird, but, like, somewhere closer to, you know, a little bit what's going on with Sekiro and Neo.
But and at the same time, they do have Neo for that.
But,
so
well, right, yeah. But you've got to just be this. I don't know. I think the ninja part is important now that I'm saying it. So oddly, I think maybe there's some stealth in there. You know, I didn't really map out the game design.
Like Sekiro, then.
Yeah, kind of. Like, Sekiro, you're right. You sneak up, but, like, I was thinking more almost for a second, like Hitman, like super sneaky for moments. So maybe there's moments where you develop in your stealth skill, but at the end of the day, Ninja Gaiden, anything. Mm-hmm. So.
That's a good one. But yeah, going back to what you were saying, time splitters.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do time splitters. Yeah. I know time splitters Rewind has been talked about. Kind of, are they?
They announced they're working on a time splitters thing. I assume it's a new game. Otherwise, it's just
THQ, still the same Nordic. Nordic yeah. Right? They're doing something or
that's
other.
That's the publisher. Is it still the same team? Is there X, you know?
Free Radical is...
Yeah, Free Radical, exactly.
Are they still in business?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, that's what made it special was we couldn't get GoldenEye. Nintendo still, I believe... They own the rights to the name of that game. Of course, then you have the... forget who owns the Bond franchise, the name of that family there, yeah. But it's such a mess to think about rebooting GoldenEye, so we end up with Time Splitters. So, oh yeah, wait, that's right. Crytek, did they pick up This is what the
UK,
wiki page,
formerly
yeah.
Free Radical Design.
So they're working on Crytek stuff, but
well, they're defunct,
and they're
so.
Done.
But if any of those folks, yeah, David Doak, Steve Ellis, Carl Hilton, etc., those are the folks from Rare.
But I do know that like there's a group out there doing what's called Time Splitters Rewind, and they've been working on this since like 2014.
Why is it called Rewind? That's concerning.
Well, because they're like it's not an official game; it's like a fan made game, but with a lot of support from the people that actually made this shit. That's like pretty much an HD remaster of all the old ones.
Yeah, the problem with this is, like, it's nice to get something, but I'm going to bring up, since you bring up Burnout so often, it's like those folks kind of got together and made Dangerous Driving, but not
that
nearly the amount of polish
now
and support that
one.
We need. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't want it to be that, is all I'm saying.
No, for sure. So here's my pitch on Time Splitters, is partner up with Nintendo somehow and make Time Splitters just a super fun Nintendo-ized first-person shooter. Make it their thing of just like wacky characters, wacky story, whatever. But it is just deathmatch.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is just them trying to have a first person shooter, like in the way that they have Splatoon kind of be their like closest thing they have.
So we
to
get
that.
Our GoldenEye mm-hmm. multiplayer through this.
Absolutely. Yeah. A modern
focus
Switch.
Just on that.
GoldenEye type.
Huh? But we need the story back, and we need Vin Diesel cast as the main
100%
game.
100% with you.
Okay, oh, because yes. The main character just was like a fucking
it was
clone
Vin Diesel.
Vin
but
Diesel.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
So I'm following looked this like him, huh? This thread of what happened to Free Radical.
I don't care about that element.
Like when they went to Dan Buster Studios, now they're working on Dead Island 2, apparently. So yeah, technically, they are owned by THQ Nordic. It's just
Dead Island 2.
Dead Island 2.
Yo, remember the
games that should come back?
They're one of the three studios that have been working on it. Like Jaeger was first, then Sumo, and now Dan Buster.
I like that idea though, Tim. Yeah, because like roundaboutly, it's funny. Like I wanted to put GoldenEye on the list, but I'm just like, I don't know how that's going to work. So maybe that's the way you do it.
That's my thing. It's like maybe take Time Splitters out of it because I get that that's like too much shit. But it's like Nintendo just needs a GoldenEye that's not GoldenEye.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're
a
right.
Modern version. You know, and I feel like that's just so simple. Arena shooter, but like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah, like I'm with you, but again, like the GoldenEye was special because of the time and the style and the Bond powers and the gadgets and stuff. And like now, like what?
Yeah, that's
how
my,
do
I
you
feel
do
like
that?
I feel like Splatoon is pretty much that for them. Yeah. Meaning, like, I feel like the way the Switch feels and the way that controller feels, it doesn't necessarily complement first person shooters.
Accuracy, yeah.
You know, like pinpoint like competitive first person shooters in that way. And I feel like Splatoon is like the closest thing where it's like, okay, yeah, this is made for the Switch. And it is a shooter, like a team-based shooter.
Yeah.
So it kind of fulfills that for them.
No, yeah. I think you're right. Like that is their way of doing PvP. Like doing the straight-up shooting, it is, like, sentimentally, this is kind of one of them. I'm like, I'm with you. I want it. I'm like, I don't know how. Like in a world of now, we got play Valorant, you know, this Overwatch, CSGO, you know, whatever hybrid-looking thing coming from the League of Legends folks, right? And then you got Overwatch, and then you got all these other games people are playing that are legit amazing shooters. How do you even do it?
Well, that's my thing. Is like, yeah. Don't lean into that. Lean more into like,
but meaning if it's a
Smash
shooter,
Brothers to like, fighting games, I want this to shooters. You get what I'm saying?
I don't know what that'd be. I don't know.
Imran, give me another one.
I really want a new. So in 2005, I think there was a Ghouls and Ghosts for PSP, and I was shocked. Or Ghosts and Goblins, I never get it
either
right.
Way.
G&G for PSP, and it was one of the best games on that system.
Huh.
And I am shocked that it never ported it anywhere else. Just, I don't even need a new
100%
game.
Down.
Just remaster that game. Like, just put that game somewhere else on a modern system on the Switch. Who gives a shit? Like, you don't need to make a new one. You don't need to make a
Man
11.
Why not, though? Like, give it the Ori treatment. Let's call it. You know, this beautiful, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, amazing-looking, but,
so here's
but
the thing. I think
graveyard.
I think Mega Man 11 is actually a fantastic-looking video game. Hmm. Like, especially the bosses and the larger enemies. And all, like, Mega Man himself, everyone else, kind of great-looking. I think if you just did that, like, you didn't need to go too far with it. Because that game only sold 1 million. It was a success for them. Hmm. Like, I think you could have a really successful game like that. The problem is that those games are way too hard for most people. And also... Yes.
It's funny, I remember. I didn't remember.
Have you ever beaten one?
I remember Ghouls and Goblins, the first one being tough.
You have to get to the boss.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts, that was better.
You have to get to the final boss, and the boss is like, nah, fuck that.
Was that Beelzebub or whatever?
Yeah.
Or was he the last? I remember fighting him.
And then like you go back again through the entire game and collect things and fight him again.
Oh, I think I do remember that part. And then maybe I never did it.
And an age without battery saves. Like,
yeah.
That's that game would not succeed today.
Well, you
so
wouldn't
you
do
to,
that.
You
yeah.
had to flatten out a little bit, and the PSP game did the same kind of thing. But I still think you make that game today, and it would be people will be like, "Fuck yeah, Capcom's back!" Like they're doing the thing they need to do.
That'd be cool.
Speaking of Capcom being back, baby, mm-hmm. Onimusha. Can you just give
me your fave.
Give me an Onimusha in the RE engine. And here's the other thing.
Or Shinobi.
I'll wait. Samurai, I'll wait. Sorry. Give me the RE8. It needs to have RE3. Okay. Obviously, is happening. RE8, of course. But at some point, it's like you should be focusing on RE. Get that. You know, mainstream buzz going. But then just give me Onimusha. So,
here's the thing. Then does that game just be Neo at that point? Like, is a modern Onimusha?
No,
because there's not really modern Resident Evil in the same way that Onimusha was old Resident Evil.
I feel like there is modern Resident Evil. I mean, there is, like, but like horror, it's not games, right?
It's just not the same as it was before.
I feel like it's more Sekiro than.
The thing about Onimusha is it's not just like Onimusha is not special because you're a samurai. It's special because there's all the demon shit,
which
right?
again is Neo.
Which but like it's the shit of like the absorbing the souls and like having the different elemental powers and things like that. Kind of like I did not get deep into Neo enough to know doesn't have that type of stuff. Like there's like a
Neo one didn't
arcade-y style to Onimusha that I really especially. Here's my thing. Onimusha 3. I want Onimusha 3 again.
That game's intro won awards for how amazing it was.
It fucking deserves them. Guess what, guys? In the post show, we're going to watch the intro to Onimusha 3. Because it's the most hype thing of all freaking time.
It's amazing.
And I want that shit.
Yeah. But like, of course they could do it. I mean, look, like they're making Ghost of Tsushima, and like it's gonna. We don't know exactly what it'll be, but it looks gorgeous, and I'm down for that. I mean, I'd feel the same way about this.
Here's my question. If you bring Onimusha back, do you bring back the puzzle gameplay of it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I always thought it was the weakest part of it.
It was like the same as RE, right? It'd be like a shiny thing, and then you had to,
but
stuff
like
that.
Onimusha 1 infamously had like a sliding puzzle that's timed, and if you don't get it right, you get a game over.
Yeah. I played it. I just,
Here's the thing. Onimusha, I really feel like it kind of like grew on itself, and by the time it hit 3, it was bonkers insane, but 3 was the first time that they went to full control analog control of the character. Got rid of the tank controls and moved forward. They ported Onimusha 1 to everything last year.
Well, it was pre-rendered backgrounds originally, right?
Yeah.
That was why.
Yeah.
It was just like RE, where it was like these gorgeous, you know, backgrounds, but then it was like isometric, top-down-ish sort of, and you're this, you know.
But the moment that it played more like Devil May Cry, I feel like that's when I liked it the most, and a modern version of that, I am just super freaking in for.
Yeah. It was ahead of its time in a lot of ways, especially in terms of character action. Like, there were really cool rival fights. I remember Onimusha 2 had, like, what was that guy's name? Gogan Dantas? Jubei was the main character, and he had like a rival that would appear every like it's like I'm the great Gogan Dantas, and then you fight him, and it's like a really fucking cool fight each time.
Bless.
I think Brink deserves another chance.
No, it doesn't.
I think Brink, and this is I'm not going to say it was
died for a reason.
I'm not going to say it was ahead of his time or anything like that. But
no Jet Force Gemini.
It's no Jet Force Gemini, but in a sense, I feel like
few things are.
I feel like that game, given another attempt, and like given it being a lot better, could do well today. Mm-hmm. Like it being a first-person shooter that is, was it hero-based or am I making that up? Because I know you like created your character.
I barely remember it, be honest.
If for people who are unfamiliar, right, this game was published by Bethesda.
I don't think it was hero-based. Like, I think it was
like a stylized first-person shooter with like free-running elements. And I guess it wasn't hero-based. It probably would have been. I think like the matches were objective-based, if I remember correctly.
It was like big parkour emphasis on everything.
Yeah. It didn't do well because it just wasn't that great. But I think it had a lot of the ingredients there for a really special experience. Like, I remember everybody being excited for Brink, and then it came out and everybody was disappointed. But I think the things that made people excited when it was announced and shown off, like, those things would still work, right? The style of it, the way it looks Overwatchy, but not Overwatchy. Like it's stylized, and so it had like the long faces for the characters, and it had like the pronounced features on the characters.
It looked like what I thought Rage 2 was going to look like when they first showed me Rage 2.
Yeah, somewhat like that.
But was it just the style? I mean, what made it more than just the shooter?
It was the style, and it was like the free running elements.
Yeah,
and
That it had like some parkour type stuff in it.
Yeah, and I think like that world at first blush seemed kind of interesting, and I would love for somebody to pick that up and actually flesh it out and make that something worth caring about, because I think Brink on the servers had a lot going for it. And I would love to play a first-person shooter, like a competitive first-person shooter that has these free-running elements. Yeah. I feel like there's something there.
I mean, we're basically describing Apex at that point, right?
And in that, actually, when I first wrote this down, Apex was actually what I was thinking about. Like, I think you could take a lot of those elements and boil them down to like an arena first-person shooter that really works. Now I'm just talking about Titanfall 2, I guess.
Fuck but, yeah, Titanfall 2 is
no,
great.
I see what you mean. Maybe with a little more of that free running parkour aspect.
Yeah, like some
little
some
mirrors
more focus
edgy
on
at
that.
Times or whatever.
Yeah,
know.
I'd like to see that.
Interesting.
I got one for you.
Good for it.
It's been way too long. when the fuck are we going to get a chess 2?
That's what I'm talking about.
Nah. There was a.
You got me for a second. I see
there was an N64 chess game that had like a phone jack inside the cart so you could play it online.
What the fuck?
That was like one of the first like online like attempts, I thought.
Yeah, I remember like thinking, like, oh, that's a good solution.
Yeah. Because that was this. Wasn't it? That was on the Famicom or?
N64.
It was on N64.
Or at least the one I'm thinking of. With
probably,
N64. There's probably other
ones. I think you're right. But all that was born out of, like, they did that on Famicom or Super Famicom, where originally, right, it started, I think, is like you could access your bank account or something. It all started with this technology of plugging your phone into a cartridge. And
did you own X-Band as a kid? Did anyone own X-Band as a kid? So no. X-Band was a thing that you attach to your, like a Game Genie kind of thing, where you put your cart in there between the two stuff, and it would allow you to play online. I got one match ever of Street Fighter 2 of somebody else playing it, and it was unplayably laggy. Like, you would throw a sonic boom, and it would come out, like, 5 seconds later.
That's awesome.
Well, but it was still amazing. Call the other person, and then they had the answer for hello. Boom! And you're like, oh, dang it.
Damn it.
But if that's how it worked, it was all the audio. That's how you figured out what happened to you.
Turn-based Street Fighter 2.
Oh, son of a, I knew it. I'm going to call him right.
What up?
Hit me one.
Let me see here. I think Wii Sports should make a comeback.
Okay.
Yeah. And it would have, they would have to change the name of it. It'd probably be either Switch Sports or Nintendo Sports or
3-4 Sports.
Mii Sports, I feel like it'd be a good solution.
Do we
because
need
you're
this
playing
in our
as
life
Mies.
Again?
Yeah, dude. I miss Mii Sports.
Grandma and Mom, everybody coming out.
Yeah, it was a great family experience. I'd love to have that on Switch. Like, the Switch has the gyroscope or whatever the motion stuff is. That could probably make it work.
What's so funny? It'd be awesome. Fucking friend.
Grandma and Mom just coming out.
Playing your video games. Like, that. I'm trying to get away from
I just picture, that. Like, Fran being at home and his mom comes over. Like, can we play video games? Like, Mom, jeez.
Yeah, it was actually, that's kind of what I remember because I brought it. This is the real story. I had brought my stuff back because, well, I was a total nerd and like it just came out, but I was planning to play it during New Year's Eve. Thought it would make for some fun, and it sure did. Great drinking games planned
I'm
and executed.
I'm also going to 1-2 punch this with one that's in a similar vein, Nintendo Land. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, why did Switch launch with 1-2 Switch when it could have, and I'm not saying that it should have launched with Nintendo Land either because that didn't work with Wii U. But Nintendo Land was an awesome, like, amazing
idea.
Game. No, the game was awesome.
There are, like,
games in it are awesome.
Yes.
Then there's a lot of other games that are not so awesome.
There are enough games. Like, how many games in Wii Sports were great?
Wii Sports was bowling, tennis.
Like, bowling and tennis were the two that people mainly did.
Yeah,
and I love the boxing. And golf was, like,
yeah,
nobody played golf,
boxing
but it
was broken but fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's boxing.
Yeah. But, like, Nintendo Land had the Luigi's Mansion game, which I would say
is great.
Like, an amazing game. Mm-hmm. Mario Chase was fun.
Mario Chase was super fun.
The Animal Crossing game in there I thought was super awesome. There's, like, a...
The Donkey Kong one I liked a lot.
I don't think I played the Donkey Kong one.
The one where you're tilting down a Donkey Kong level.
Oh, no, I don't remember that one.
I don't know, man.
I guess I didn't play much of that one. But then
also
there
was,
like,
demo
the Zelda
the
on rails thing, like, I thought was pretty fun. Like, there are enough games in there that I thought worked, and there are enough games in there that I thought were super great that I would love to see that thing make a return, because I think it worked really well.
Here's my thing. Don't bring back Nintendo Land. Make the Nintendo thing at Universal Studios Nintendo Land.
But also make Nintendo Land, though. How often am I going to go to Universal Studios?
Well, if they had Nintendo Land there, pretty often.
If they had Nintendo Land, that's like a lot of money for me to go fly down there. When I can just have Nintendo
Land. I love the idea. And I feel like Nintendo Land is one of those games that got way too much shit. Because it was good.
It was tied to the Wii U.
And it was tied to the Wii U.
Yeah.
Which, like, whatever.
That's true. Negative connotation.
I do think that at the end of the day, like, it was not a great showing for Nintendo. And, like, they should have done better from it. Like, I feel like the concept
of
that was so great. It felt rushed.
Yeah.
It felt like incomplete. And especially from a single player perspective, like, no fucking way is that game entertaining at all.
For sure.
And
but, like,
it should have been.
How entertaining was Wii Sports from a single player perspective?
I'm not comparing it to Wii Sports.
But
I feel like this one had so much potential. Like, this could have been like a Smash Brothers of Mario Party, right?
Here's
a bunch of mini games, but based on the characters and games that you love.
They also rolled it out real dumb with that one E3 conference where they're like, now let's take another visit back to Nintendo Land.
I was there, guys.
Yeah. They rolled out everything dumb for the Wii U. But my thing is, like, I don't even think Nintendo Land is, like, one of the best Nintendo titles
it's
or anything
just a
like
neat
that.
Game.
But I think it, like, it could have been a great pack-in title for Switch.
Yes.
You know, it's not, like, 1-2 Switch wasn't a pack-in title, but there should have been a pack-in title, like a launch title, aside from Breath of the Wild, for Switch that really made that console
makes
special
sense.
Or that brought in, like, a family audience into it. And Nintendo Land could have been that, or, like, some sort of sports title could have also been that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they kind of missed out on that. And
well, that is what 1-2 Switch
Nintendo
should
Land
have
was
been.
A 6.5, and it should have been a freaking 10.
The Deadland was like a
like the
7.5.
The Gunslinger game was that example of like, oh man, this is cool, but you wanted like more than just that. Like mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that game. That was it.
I want the Kirby Superstar of Nintendo franchises.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Fran, you got another one?
I got many other ones, but I got to choose. I'm going to throw it out there because I know we're going to miss it because the show's probably getting late. Phantasy Star Online. Okay. I know that we're getting too we brought not, over here.
I was going to say, did we just not get one? Or do we not have one on the
It's a decade old.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, almost a decade old Phantasy Star Online, too. I'm saying a proper, full-fledged Phantasy Star Online sequel, not this we're bringing Phantasy Star Online 2 to the West. And like, mm-hmm.
But total, isn't that the best case scenario? Just bring the one people like here.
That's what they're doing. Which I know.
You think that like games have, just, especially online games, have just progressed so much that like
that's the point, and they need to make that. That's what I'm saying. Phantasy Star Online 3, the proper PSO3, a big, you're huge thinking, investment.
Are you thinking like, more like a more Destiny like PSO?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Like you know, if you were to take the world of that, give it you know the. Not only the Destiny treatment, the Final Fantasy 14 treatment, the like, make it big is all I'm saying, mm-hmm. and really treat it with the respect I think it deserves. Style of those games is so cool. I only played Phantasy Star Online. I never really had a chance to get into it, so I'm excited that it's you know coming to the West still, right? I mean, they announced that last year.
The beta was like 2 weeks ago.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. See, there you go. Because it's an old game. It falls right under your radar, so I want a proper new one. I mean, the swords are just gigantic. Like, you can't not love that game. The style is so cool, man. What more do you need?
Like,
what more can I say?
I was looking right at you, Fran. You said that so earnestly and sincerely.
It's true.
That
I love like, it. They're freaking awesome. Love that was it, man. Like, oh, one of the best things in that game.
I want to read a couple from the audience that you guys, like you guys submitted here on patreon.com.
As long as Barrett's not one of these like audience members.
I mean, once you're done reading those, I got a couple to throw out that we know. I am actually.
Donkey Kong 64.
Any day
now. Diddy Kong Racing.
All right, you want me to throw my three out? Earthworm Jim, none of you fucking brought up.
They're making a new one.
Are they?
Yes. Well, supposedly.
Should they?
No.
Yes.
Earthworm Jim's not as good as you think.
Was,
go back and play it. That first level is amazing. Everything out of that first level is dog shit.
I played the second one like 5 years ago. Holds up. Earthworm Jim, Bully. And let's get an actual fucking real Tony Hawk's game back.
Dude, I'd love it more than anything.
I have more spoken.
All right.
What's our Patreon people have to say?
Let's see. We got...
those are actually good picks.
Lee Palero. Snowboard Kids needs to come back. It had two games out on the N64, and they were stupidly fun. It had the chaos and items of Mario Kart with unique characters and a fun story mode. It won't come back or even be remastered, but still wishing.
There was a DS one that I don't think was great,
was
but
there?
It did exist.
Huh. DS is so weird.
DS like, had like a million fucking games, and people remember 30?
How did Diddy Kong Racing come out on DS? That's so bizarre.
And Rare themselves made it. Like,
it's so fucking weird.
It wasn't that
being
they gave
owned by
to
Microsoft.
It.
Like, what? How?
Must have been like the final obligation before they crossed over, right?
No, it was legit. Like
years later,
they talked about it. It's like, oh yeah, Nintendo asked. And we're like, sure.
That's super weird.
It is strange.
Really weird. Let's see. Gage Luke says for this week's topic of old franchises needing a revisiting, I'd like to submit Bungie West's game Oni.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
This action game would be an excellent property for Microsoft and Xbox to revamp. The core gameplay loop entailed going through levels with a combo of third-person shooting and beat-em-up mechanics. Toward the end of the level, you'd fight a boss character hand-to-hand, and in doing so, learn their moveset, similar to fighting game character mechanic differences. I would love to see this concept in a truly next-gen form. Complex hand-to-hand fighting style gameplay mixed with epic cyberpunk / Ghost in the Shell style storylines. Pretty cool.
Heck yeah.
Who owns it? Would Microsoft own that?
No. I think that...
Would Bungie retain ownership?
Well, good question. It always depends on who published and what the deal was, right? Like,
I mean, Microsoft brought back fucking Voodoo Vince. Like, they could bring back Oni.
Oni?
Voodoo Vince. Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about right now?
From Bungie.
That was on my list.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Oni was on my list.
The
Gage
Patreon.
Luke on Patreon.
Oh, wait, are we in the post show?
No, it's not post show. I'm just like bouncing around here. He also says honorable mention to F-Zero.
Yeah, oh, dude.
I was
going to
say F-Zero, but it's so obvious.
Did you guys play Oni?
No, actually.
No. Yeah,
never had.
The game was not that great.
But you want it back.
Yeah, no, that game was cool. Like, the style of it was really cool. It was like a very anime. It was like a third-person shooter. It was very early PS2, and so it was kind of rough. But I could see it. I could see that game making a return and being
the styles
decent.
Right.
What was that Microsoft shooter that came out very early in the Xbox? Like
Brute Force?
Brute Force. That was it. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Bring that thing back.
No. Ooh. That was a bad game.
No. Bring back all the shitty ones and make them
good. Make them good, man.
If they ruin Perfect Dark, they need to make
up
for
it somehow. Brute Force was the one with like the dinosaur character, you know, reptile dude. So I actually remember there was the guy previewing at IGN, previewed it and was like raving, and I was like super busy, didn't get a chance to really look into it, and we all bought it and we land up the house with the Ethernet connection, got all the consoles hooked together because you couldn't go online. It was like, we got to play co-op, it's amazing. And we played like a few levels, and all I remember is like leaning out of my room to like my roommates being like, are you guys actually liking this, you know? And they're like, and like literally it had come off of there. It was supposed to be like a godsend, like
killer
game.
Yeah.
The thing you're describing is the experience I had with Brink.
Oh, really? Sorry.
I'm like, we're all super hyped for it, and we started to play. I was like,
this
is not that great.
The game I felt that way with? Mario Kart Double Dash. Just kidding. Yeah. Still good, not great though.
I'm with you though. Jamaican Hopscotch, bless. Mm-hmm. Speaking to both of our hearts here with some real good shit. Yeah. And he's adding some like extra shit. There's some asterisks that I'm like, I'm here for it.
Okay.
The Street Sports franchise should be brought back.
That was one of mine.
I played the hell out of NFL Street, NBA Street, and Street Volume 2.
Yep.
I've always thought, here's the crazy thing, I always thought it'd be super cool if they used Marvel or DC characters and made it in a similar vein to Mario Super Strikers.
Whoa.
Yes. I love all of that. Mario Super Strikers on my list. NBA Street on my list.
Oh, yeah. Mario Super
You
Strikers.
Add some fucking Marvel characters? Yeah.
It's a basketball game, though. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
I'm like, well, lost
oh,
in
yeah,
all
like,
of them.
Like Iron
Meaning,
Man.
Meaning, what do you do? Do you all
Iron
of a sudden
Man
start fighting, or are we doing
D-ing
that
up
too?
Hulk on the
I legit like a thing where the Thanos just snaps and like half the team goes away.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, you snap the other team just disappears for like 30 seconds, and he has to snap.
Love it.
Magneto pulls the hoops off the.
Fuck yeah! Let's get crazy.
I just wrote down EA Sports big titles. Like,
yeah. Bring back big.
Bring
make it bigger, man.
EA Sports big.
We agreed on that.
We're imagining Magneto dribbling a ball for some reason. That's the funniest fucking thing in the world.
I love it, dude.
D up for the mutants. Like.
And then last one we read here is Colton Nessler says, has Rockstar forgotten about Midnight Club?
Yes.
Everyone wants to look back at Bully and Table Tennis with rose-colored glasses.
Barrett.
Table Tennis.
What a shout-out.
Holy sure.
But Midnight
Bully
Club.
Fucking holds up. Don't pull this rose-tinted glasses with Bully. Fuck that.
Yo,
person.
If we want to talk about overrated. Listen, I like Bully. I like Bully. Bully is awesome. Bully is great. But we hype it up way too much, y'all.
Tim, I'm throwing
really
something
good
out there.
Like,
we got a fire blessing. I'm sorry. I don't make the rules.
At the time Bully came out, it was this very interesting thing of like, oh, everyone thinks it's going to be like a school bully, a school shooting simulator or whatever. Mm-hmm. Should not be like a fairly wholesome-ish game that was like, okay, it's actually a nice story. Granted, the main character is a bit of a psychopath.
Yeah.
But
it was no state of emergency.
Yeah.
He was like 14. You know, what are you going
to
do?
I mean, was it? He took some pictures of a girl in the shower and then took them down and then he was have to make out with her. And I was like, that's, not sure I like that.
Wouldn't fly today.
Let's go around the table. One more from each of us. Bless.
Oh, man, the pressure. Oh, man, where do I go from here?
You're saying that, like, sarcastically?
No, I'm saying that seriously. I don't know where to go from here. All right, I think I know which one I'm going with. This is what my list looks like. Imran.
There's a lot of good stuff on this list.
Right?
There's a lot of good stuff on that list.
I'm going to say Mirror's Edge. Hmm. And I know it came back with Catalyst in 2015 or 2016.
Yeah.
Catalyst was not good.
Was it 2016?
It wasn't.
I want to say it was like 2013. No, 2014.
It must have been after, because we were kind of funny already.
Yeah, and I'll. Okay. And I'll
yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was like 4 years ago they came out with Catalyst, and Catalyst wasn't that great.
It was not bad. It just didn't live up to
it. It wasn't Mirror's Edge.
It was like a strong like 6.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't live up to the first Mirror's Edge, which I was playing recently, and I was like, man, this game, they could bring back this game. Yeah. Like, this game could work. And I think the issue with Catalyst was, one, the open world wasn't great. Like, the actual open world kind of sucked because it felt like the world wasn't really made with free-running in mind for what this game was. Like, it was made with free running in mind from like a broad sense of like, oh yeah, you can mantle on things, but it wasn't tailored to your skills in a way that made traversing that world fun and interesting. And so I think, like, even get rid of the open world, like, everybody asked for the open world after Mirror's Edge, tried it, didn't work, get rid of it, make another linear Mirror's Edge. I'm playing Dying Light right now, and I'm enjoying it for the most part, but one of the things that I'm noticing as I'm playing it is that I, as far as the free-running mechanics, I prefer Mirror's Edge, like, way more.
Oh, man, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that Mirror's Edge feel, like, felt smooth. It felt like you kind of, you knew your options because of the way things were highlighted. You felt like you had a lot more maneuverability as far as how the slide felt, how quick the mantle was, how, like, when you do your leap off of objects. I don't know what that was called, but
oh yeah,
you know, you when you bounce. Did yeah like the bounce move, whatever that thing was, right? Like, all the options there in terms of movement felt natural, and I feel like I haven't played a parkour game since that I would say lives up to that standard of free running elements, with the exception of maybe Apex, but in that game you're like a super hero basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I really give EA credit for finally bringing that back, because that's one of those games you would ask for forever and assume they're never going to do it. But DICE was passionate about it, and they gave it to us, and it was a huge risk.
And they're not going to do it again.
There was somebody probably at that, you know, executive board being like, I told you guys, like, we should never done this. And it didn't sound like, I do think that's a shame, but.
Wasn't the main villain in Catalyst Andrew Wilson? Like, they didn't call him Andrew Wilson, but he looked exactly like Andrew Wilson.
But
I don't remember the story in Catalyst. That's how bad it was.
To dig into the point, I love that franchise. I was one of those people. I actually think it's better than, you know, 6.5, like, let's call it 7.5. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
At its core, the thing is, it nails all the things you're talking about better, so much better than everything else. And for me, it was actually a racing game. Like, the time trial stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Shortcutting. That was freaking so much fun. Unfortunately, right, that's, like, only so much to do. And that's where they struggled with Mirror's Edge. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know where I'd bring it, but as long as they don't screw that up, I'm totally down for that. You know, more online racing elements, like, between players. And, like, I think you could race each other's ghosts.
Yeah,
I would love to just, heck, like, race side by side. Like,
the sucky thing is, whenever I tried racing people's ghosts, the ghosts would just, like, glitch through the world somehow. Like, they would have figured out ways to kind of,
stuff would happen for sure. You're like, wait, what just happened?
It's like, how'd you get here in 5 seconds? That place is 30 seconds away.
But sometimes those were the shortcuts. They would do this stuff. But anyway.
A Mirror's Edge that's more like Forza Horizon. And actually might make a lot of sense.
Oh my god.
Well, I'm not pitching it.
My heart, it hurts.
What I want to say, they do need to figure out, like, the actual combat, and that needs to be brought into, like, a super solid.
I think that game should have no combat.
The combat in Catalyst sucked. The combat in Mirror's Edge 1 was serviceable. But
there was, like, one point where you had to shoot people, but other than that, it was...
Yeah, in Catalyst, they took out the guns in Catalyst. They took out you being able to use a gun in Catalyst, and there was a lot of fist to fist combat, and that stuff did not work. Like, the combat in Catalyst,
that's the thing.
Was, like,
you shouldn't ever have to be in combat. Combat should be, how do I get past this guy? Does it mean, like, sliding under him or sliding over him?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it should come up a lot, though. Yeah, as part of the world, like, I could see, like, Doom style, like, super exaggerated dismantling someone to get past them. And but you need a lot of that to break up this action.
And I feel like Mirror's Edge, the first one, figured a lot of that stuff out. You did have to pick up a gun at some points, which they shouldn't have done. But
it didn't feel great.
Like, for the most part, as far as how combat situations would arise in Mirror's Edge 1, like, you would, Mirror's Edge 1 enemies would do the thing where they're about to hit you, and then the gun would highlight red, and you would press triangle, and you would counter them, and it'd be like this quick, like, you know, you get their gun from them and push them away, that kind of thing. And that kind of thing works, but Mirror's Edge Catalyst definitely tried to do a lot more that game just wasn't made for. Like, they dropped the ball in multiple areas while making that game, in a way where if you make another Mirror's Edge, I think you can still make another excellent one that comes out in 2020, that comes out, like, in a modern time that works, that abandons, like, a lot of the baggage that Catalyst kind of brought to it, and just makes something that's simple, something that's easy, something that's quick. And even if it is, like, an open world Forza Horizon thing where you are competing with online players for a time and stuff like that, I think even that would be an incredible experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Imran.
So my franchise is kind of like a bunch of franchises under, like, a coalition banner, but they need to bring back the Disney Afternoon stuff.
Oh.
Like, the old day of Capcom making those like, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Like, I think yesterday Capcom put the DuckTales Remastered game.
Yeah.
Which is not great necessarily, but I liked it because I liked that old game.
It is what it is. Yeah. It has the moon theme. That's all you need.
They put it back on the digital stores. I think Disney should, like, lean into that sort of thing.
John Drake, baby. He has to make it happen.
Let's call John Drake right now and demand it.
Yeah, but I think he knows. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's a great, great thing. I would love to see just fun licensed platformers that are, like, using the elements that the different IP can allow them and just really have fun with it. You know, it doesn't need to be, like, a tie-in to movies and stuff. It's just, like, No, fuck it. It would be cool if there was a new DuckTales game.
Yeah. Have you watched the DuckTales cartoon?
I've not, but it's amazing.
So, like, the most recent season and the next season as well, they're really leaning into Disney Afternoon stuff. So there's, like, Tailspin characters and all that sort of thing. Like, Darkwing's a pretty major part of that series now. I would love to just do one of those games. Like, make a DuckTales game that just has all these characters, has its own play styles. Like, I just... It's so right for at least re-exploring what they did in the NES era, if not just making new ideas.
Imran, really quick, how dope was it when they did the Three Caballeros?
It was so fucking cool. Have you seen the poster for season 3?
No.
Look it up when you get a chance. Okay, I will. It looks so cool.
I love it. Love it. Fran.
I got a good one for you, Tim.
Yeah?
You're going to like it.
Hit me
I hope
hard.
I don't get this wrong, because I was really underwhelmed by that Half-Life comment earlier. Anyway, Super Mario RPG. Mm-hmm. Full on. Now we got our Kingdom Hearts. We've got Paper Mario, even. But like I'm saying,
even Paper Mario though,
and Paper Mario
yeah,
too.
Paper
is
Mario
really
had like, written down.
Yeah, that's on the list. Like I feel like that's one's gonna. But a full on, you know, just you know, Super Mario RPG, right? Was inspired. Well, actually, it was developed by Square, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what we need again. And we just need Super Mario RPG. It's a very simple formula. I can't imagine that I even need to pitch to you what it would be, right?
Yeah.
Just an amazing RPG with all these Nintendo characters. And I'm sure now you can even have some crossover stuff happening. Maybe you even have some Kingdom Hearts characters
Mushroom
show up.
Mushroom Kingdom
Which
Hearts.
Which one is generally looked at
Mushroom
as
Kingdom Hearts.
Superior between Paper Mario 1 and Super Mario RPG?
Which what?
Paper
Which
Mario one is, 1 is, or Paper Mario? Like any like Paper Mario game.
The Paper Mario for...
Paper Mario is a better game. Like, I don't even remember. Super Mario RPG was just so long ago. Like, it was
here's the thing.
Good to have,
Super Mario
but it
RPG
didn't blow anybody's like, mind.
It's amazing. No, it's legit. I fucking love when this happens. Super Mario RPG.
Holy
there
crap.
You go.
It's like concept art for it?
No.
It's Oreo's. Yeah.
Same shit we always have. But anyways, that game was amazing. When Paper Mario came out, everyone was so mad that it wasn't a sequel to Mario RPG. And it was like, fuck this stuff. But then Paper Mario was like, oh, this is pretty good.
Cool. I play Paper Mario and I love Paper
but
Mario.
Awesome.
Then they did
Thousand Year Door, which was like, oh.
Thousand Year Door is still the best game in the series.
This is what we want. Mm-hmm. And then they just were like, nope, let's go with
Super Paper Mario.
It's like this, and left turn.
Totally. And then there was also the Mario and Luigi franchise. That popped up on GBA, which was good.
I really love 1
and
3.
Yeah, that was solid, dude. Amazing. It was very, like, Paper Mario.
Kept going. But it's like, we need a new Paper Mario, man.
Both.
Like, a new core Paper Mario.
Paper Mario is rumored, though, right now, right?
It is.
So I believe that it's happening. That's why, like,
I had it
on my
list. But,
like,
will it be a good one, though? That's, like, the question.
That we won't know.
I strongly believe it will.
But I will say Nintendo tends to respond to criticism pretty readily.
They do. At about like a half a decade like delay, so yeah, we're
doing
be
about
great
where
Paper
we're like,
Mario game.
Yeah,
we're Color Splash.
They're in a state where they actually can the next Metroid and or they're fixing whatever went wrong with Metroid, you know. And we have to wait. So hopefully that's how they're looking at a game like Paper Mario as well.
Yeah.
The last one I'm gonna say. This one's it's not interesting. I've said this shit before, but I just want to see it, and I can't believe that we probably won't ever see this. It's just a Mario game, a 2D Mario game. That's original. That's
it. New games were original.
In 2006. It's 20.
You talking about.
Okay.
I want a 2D Mario game.
Like
that,
new
like,
Super Mario Brothers style or like.
That's the opposite of what I'm saying. Okay. Like I want one that is not using that art style.
Okay.
How did we get Mario 1 to Mario 2 to Mario 3 to Mario World? Look at the art styles of those games. Look at how those games built on themselves, right? Like how radically different ideas are in each one of those. And then we get to New Super Mario Brothers on the DS, and we've gotten 15 of those goddamn games.
I see.
They look exactly the same. Nothing really interesting being added to it. Sure, multiplayer. Sure, you can collect the coins or whatever the fuck.
Hey, Tim, remember when you could turn into a cat, though? It was pretty cool.
That was
3D World. That's an example of, like, cool, you did something, like, that is branching off into a different
type
Mario. That's what they should have done for, like, New Super Mario Brothers U. It should have just been, like, the 2D part of Mario Maker 2 of 3D World. Like, that should have been a hardly new 2D Mario game.
I would have been super down. Like, give me interesting mechanics we've never seen. But my thing is, we are now in an era where 2D platformers are a dime a dozen, and every indie developer is making amazing ones. Like, in a world with Celeste, it's like, Mario, you kind of got to step your shit up, man.
I would honestly find it hard for a new Mario game to be as good as Tropical Freeze.
And I'm with you. And that's what I'm saying, is I want Nintendo to be like, we need the crown for 2D platformers in 2020.
I feel like
we got to do it. I want a new art style. I want it to look hella fucking dope.
What would you do if during the next Nintendo Direct, a logo pops on the screen? It's Super Mario Brothers 4.
I'd lose my shit. You know what I mean?
I'd walk out the room.
I want them to name it something different because I kind of hate that. Like we're going to go back and say, this is the real Mario 4 like Sonic did. Like, that's bullshit.
And Sonic 4 sucked.
Yes.
Yes, that's true.
But it's like, I want to see a new Mario with, like, every aspect getting as much love as Mario 3 did. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, I'm totally with you now that you're saying it. It's weird because the more I think about it, I almost feel like this accessibility of the brand, it's become like this cornerstone of like, hey, like, it's another Mario game and it's fun for the whole family and it's still really good, but like, we're not taking any risks because it's Mario 2D.
At some point, we were talking about this earlier, Smash Brothers, where it's like each one kind of has its own identity.
Yeah.
But it's like with Mario, just visually, at some point, we hit the level where they can make Mario look how they want Mario to look.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looked like that. He is now, like, hit the way that he is designed is how you're going to see him in every game because he's Mario. And, like, that cartoonish, like, in the same way that every Pixar character looks the same and every Disney character looks the same, every Mario character looks the same.
They're way more experimental with Zelda ourselves at this point.
That's like, right. Yeah.
I would love something that looks kind of like Link's Awakening, like that same toy aesthetic for a Mario game. That would be really cool.
That'd be really awesome.
Like, they just fucked our... Yoshi is now really... Homecraft art style, like that's his thing now.
Yeah,
but the yarn. So that's my thing. Yeah. It's like the yarn stuff, all that. Like even look at Yoshi's Island with like the storybook and like the crayon looking stuff. It's like, dude, there's so much potential. Do something unique like that with Mario again.
I think Nintendo is just overly safe. Like this is a larger conversation, but like Nintendo is very overly safe with certain properties, and Mario is one of them.
I feel like 3 Mario doesn't have as much of a problem as 2D Mario because the jump between 64 to Sunshine to Galaxy to Odyssey. Those games do have differences in them. Granted, the art styles are somewhat similar between them, but...
We've only had a couple of
those.
We've only had a few of those. Over 20 years.
Yeah.
Right?
But 3D Mario, I feel like, has figured it out a bit as far as like making these games actually feel like they're different games. Yeah.
Maybe you already figured it out, which is, you know, how they've been giving away some of their franchises for people to work on. Give it to the Celeste developers and be like,
oh my God.
Because problem solved. Because I'm sure they would do an amazing thing with it that, and it even makes more sense because they're doing it.
Also, give Earthbound to Toby Fox. Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, with that, that has been the Kinda Funny Games cast. Stay tuned for the Patreon exclusive post show if you are a Patreon Silver member. If you're not, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames to sign up to get this post show. But until then, peace.